الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الحبيب الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. My most respected friends, brothers and elders in Islam, it is only the grace and mercy of Allah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala favored us with the wealth of Islam. The one who Allah grants Islam to, and that person, he is the purpose of this world being created. That person enjoys a special grace, special mercy, and the special attention of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all the time. Why he possesses Islam, he possesses Iman, and he has a special link and connection with Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam in many ahadith explained the difference between a mu'min and a kafir. In one hadith, Nabi alayhi salam mentioned when a kafir falls ill, then he doesn't know what is happening to him. And he goes through the motions, the ups and downs, the hardship and difficulty. And then he is cured, he recovers, Allah Ta'ala grants him good health thereafter. It's like that animal that goes through a beating, and that animal, it goes through some hardship, it doesn't know what is being done to it, and then the next thing the animal knows, after being tied up, after being lashed, and it's opened and it's set free. The animal doesn't know why it was tied, the animal doesn't know why it was beaten, the animal doesn't know anything, and it just knows that something happened and now it's out of the difficulty. As far as a mu'min is concerned, a mu'min understands that everything comes from Allah and it is good for him. Whether he understands life or he doesn't understand it, whether the situation that overcomes him is something favorable, something that he looks forward to, or something that is against the grain, against his desires, his wishes, but he knows that in the hidden wisdom of Allah, this is good for me. So when a mu'min, he is inflicted with some hardship, difficulty, illness, then it is a cleansing process for him. It's a purifying process for him, where his sins are being cleansed, his stages are being raised, his connection with Allah is getting stronger, he's gaining more and more closeness to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then he goes through that hardship and difficulty, then Allah Rabbul Izzah takes him out of it. So from the beginning it was mercy, in the middle it was mercy, and in the end also it will be mercy. So Nabi alayhi salam, this is the difference between a mu'min and a kafir. It's like that animal doesn't know, that kafir doesn't know. And a mu'min, he understands it. So the secret of life is only in the hands of Allah. The mysteries, the secrets. what is happening, what is to happen, in which part of the globe, everything is in the hands of Almighty Allah. And each person undergoes two types of test. One is a test in his individual self, and one is a collective test. Sometimes the collective test could be in his family. Sometimes the collective test could be in the area, in the place, in the country that he lives. So on a national level, there's some hardship people are facing. And sometimes the difficulty could be an international level, that the whole ummah is going through hardship and difficulty. So a mu'min is one body, his individual self, and the entire ummah put together, they're also one body. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentions, al-mu'minuna ka jasadin wahidin, that all the believers are just like one person. In ishtaka aynuhu, ishtaka kulluhu, wa in ishtaka ra'suhu, ishtaka kulluhu. That one person, when his eye aches, the entire body feels the pain. He feels restless. He can't continue easily, smoothly. People tell him, let's take a walk. He said, I'm not feeling well. Why don't you join us for this dinner? He says, I think I need to rest. Why? I got an eye ache. I got a headache. I got this problem. But the entire body seems to be functioning normal. It's just one part of the body. So when one segment of this ummah is in hardship and difficulty, the pain is felt in the entire ummah. But a believer is not like a disbeliever. لا تيأسوا من روح الله فإنه لا يأسوا من روح الله إلا القوم الكافرون. A believer never loses hope of the mercy of Allah. He knows. Allah is in control. Allah says, ألا له الخلق والأمر. Behold, listen attentively. The entire creation is in the control of Allah. Allah lahul khalq. The entire creation, whether it's the believers, whether it's disbelievers, whether animal kingdom, jinnat kingdom, the malaik, everything. Allah lahul khalq wal amr. The control of Allah. Wal amr. And all affairs, whether affairs relating to our deen, whether affairs relating to our dunya, everything Allah says, it's in my divine control and my power. So a mu'min for a split second can never lose sight of Allah, that Allah is governing my life, Allah is governing this entire ummah. Allah knows what's happening, and in His hidden plan, He's going to decide, and inshallah He will decide in the favor of the believers, but at which point will that decision come? That is in Allah's hands. Now this is part of the imaniyat, this is part of the basic tenets of faith, that a believer has his reliance and trust on Allah and on Allah alone. Not his business, not business acumen, not on his physical strength, not on anything. It's only Allah. And a believer is going to be tested. Now when the test comes, a person, how he responds to that, this test will determine his success or failure. And you see, those who are tested the most, sometimes you know, a person is tested and says, hey, but why me? Does Allah not like me? I'm doing everything right, but why is the test coming? No, this is not the response of a mu'min. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned, أَشَدُّ النَّاسِ بَلَاءً الْأَنْبِيَاء. And those who will be tested the most will be the anbiya. ثُمَّ الْأَمْسَلْ فَالْأَمْسَلْ. Then those who will be closest to anbiya in rank, in position, Allah will test them also. So the closer you are to Allah, the more tests you will face. And Allah will give you that himmat to pass the test. Out of His infinite, you won't be able to pass it. Allah of infinite grace and mercy will give you that courage. He'll give you that imani strength. And you'll pass the test. Sahaba, Rasulullah SAW on one occasion explained to the Sahaba, that when the time of Dajjal will come, he'll have wealth. He'll have everything. Those who will obey him, he will grant all of them ease, comfort, wealth, luxury. Those who will disobey Dajjal, they will be going through hardship, difficulty, constraint, starvation, poverty, famine. So Sahaba say, O Nabi of Allah, not having food just for 1-2 days, we know what it is. It's very difficult. During those trying times, how will the ummah pass? How will they pass those tests? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, Allah Pak will make it just kalima tayyiba, la ilaha illallah, subhanallah, alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar. This will be their food. And Allah will grant them courage to stand up to all the tests. and to face Dajjal and to pass it. But what is the solution? The solution to the mysteries of life, the secrets of life, is obedience and submission. Obedience and submission from without and from within. Verbally, physically, inwardly in our hearts, is that this test has come over me. Oh Allah, I'm happy with you. Allama Qurtubi rahimullah mentions very, very beautifully. One has to study the incident of Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam from the beginning till the end. Allahu Akbar, it's unique, you know. And Allah mentions many, many incidents in the Quran Majeed, many stories. But when it comes to the incident of Yusuf alayhi salam, Allah Pak mentions Ahsan al Qasas, that we are about to narrate to you one of our best stories. One of the best stories. And other incidents are not mentioned from the beginning till the end in sequence, but when it came to the incident of Sulaiman, of Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam, Allah Pak mentioned from the beginning till the end. Something, you know, why is very, very interesting, because it's a love story. You know, that the Zulaikha was after Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam, something, maybe that's why it's very, very interesting. Allah mentions the best of stories. No, that's not the only reason. Is that there are many, many lessons for insan to take, lessons of life. That a person will be put through different challenges, tests, trials, sometimes with his own family, sometimes with his own people. Sometimes he will be languishing in prison. The Nabi of the time, what wrong did he do? It got nothing to do with what wrong and what right. Is that we are Allah's servants and he will test us to see how true we are in the claim of love, in the claim of friendship. And if we turn to him, Allah will be there. Allah will take us out. Allah will grant us and bless us. And that test will be a means of our gaining his proximity and the highest levels of success. Just think, Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam, a young child, his brothers, hostility, enmity towards him. They threw him in the depths of the well. The wayfarers, the travelers pass by, they pick him up. They take him to Egypt. His brothers see him, they say, no, he's our slave. Purchase him from us for a meager price. They didn't know his true value. His value in the sight of Allah. When he comes to Egypt, he's being sold in the markets of Egypt. And the Aziz of Misr pays the price of the weight of Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam in gold, in silver, in ajib, in silk, all that. There's people bidding for him. And the highest bid, he purchased Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam. Then he brings him to his home and he tells his wife, the mistress of Yusuf alayhi salam, he was under her, and we don't have children, perhaps we'll take him as our son. And then she falls in love with him, looking at his beauty, looking at the qualities he has, looking at the excellence Allah granted him. And then she comes forward in the absence of her husband. Now being under her, in the palace, at her mercy, in what trying situation he was, what difficulty. And she addresses him, she prepares herself, adorns, beautifies herself. And she was a woman of exceptional beauty also. And she says that, Allah says, وَرَاوَتَتْهُ الَّتِي هُوَ فِي بَيْتِهَا عَنْ نَفْسِي, that the one in whose home Yusuf alayhi salam was residing, she tries to seduce him. And she calls him towards herself with evil intentions. وَقَالَتْ هَيْتَ لَكْ, he says, yes, come to me. She said, tells him, yes, come to me. Yes, no, I'm referring to you. You know, it was only him and her. I'm speaking about you, come to me. And then she has the idol, she covers that idol. Because now she's going to commit that sin, or she intends to commit that sin, she didn't want her God to see. So the Yusuf alayhi salam said that, why are you covered? She said that, no, it's my God. I don't. He says, but Allah is the true God. He's seeing every moment. So don't you fear him. Then he says that your husband is my master. It doesn't behove me to go against my master in committing a sin of this type. Allah is my true master. I cannot go against him. And your husband also, I'm his slave. I cannot go against him. Look at the test Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam is being put through. And see, when she was overcome by love, love is blind, you can't reason, you can't think. So she tells him that, how beautiful are your hair, look at your hair. He says that in the grave all this will turn to dust. Look at your eyes, He said, no, in the grave, this will, because the worms will be fodder for the worms. Look at your beautiful complexion and your skin. He says, when a person dies, all this will be nothing. In other words, think about more, think about death. And the more she tries to seduce him and pulling towards her, the more he's trying to save himself and talk sense in her. Create realization of akhirat, realization of Allah. And there she darts towards him, says, no, I just want you. And he turns around, the only thing he could do is run towards the door. She fastens the locks on all the doors. Some Ahl-e-Ilm mentioned that there were 7 locks on 7 doors. As he goes to, showing us that we would try our level best to do what is in our ability. So he went towards the locked door, Allah caused the lock to open. And then the second door, the lock opened. Until after 7 doors, when she reaches her husband, she finds her husband standing there at the door. So she tells the husband that, what you think about that slave who tries to commit sin with your wife? She wasn't trying to put him in the soup. She wants to put him in the problem. And now she turns the whole story against. Look at him, he's trying to commit. I think the jail is the best place for such a slave. Allahu Akbar. So he tells that, no, I was not the one trying to seduce her. I was not the one trying to invite her towards her. She invited me. Allah Rabbul Izzat made it that there was a small infant child in the cradle. Allah made that child come to the rescue of Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam. The child spoke from the cradle. A child, few months, cannot speak. Allah Pak made it against the norm. A miracle of Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam. And he mentioned that if his shirt is torn from the front, then it's a sign that he tried to seduce her. And in trying to pull herself away, she saw his shirt. But if his shirt is torn from behind, it means that now he tried to escape and she was the one trying to pull him in the sin. So when they examined the shirt, they found that it was torn from the back. The husband realized that his wife was guilty. He says that, no, you are at fault. Oh Yusuf, bury the story. Don't inform anybody about it. The Aziz, the Minister of Finance of Egypt, everybody now is going to come to know about this. His reputation and respect is at stake. Test upon test. And then we find that Zulaikha, the story became viral. Everybody started speaking about it. Her slave boy, she's a young, beautiful woman like a princess, and she's getting carried away with a slave. So to show her friends how beautiful he was, she called up for a dawat. And she called Yusuf alayhi salam in the midst of the dawat. He did not know what he's being called for. And as he comes out to show her friends, if you are blaming me, then you must know for whom you're blaming me. And all her young friends had seen Yusuf alayhi salam, the beauty, the splendor, the qualities, then they also had fallen in love. And she told them at that moment that you may cut the fruit. Instead of cutting the fruit, they cut part of their hands. They were so overcome by the beauty of Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam at that moment. And then they also told him that I think it's best for you to submit to your mistress. If she wants you to commit sin with her, that you should please her. That was the time Yusuf alayhi salam made dua, oh Allah, the prison is better for me. This Nabi goes in the prison. Nabi is in the prison. And so many years in the prison, years. Till the time came when Allah Pak shows the king of the time a dream, and he needed the interpretation of the dream. And the man who had the knowledge of it was Yusuf alayhi salam. It's a long incident, he's just cutting it short. And then one of his workers, courtiers, mentioned, I was in the prison, I had also seen a dream, and he interpreted it. And he's a master in this science. The king calls for him, Yusuf alayhi salam, says, no, till this affair and this matter is not resolved, that why I was put in prison, I'm languishing in prison unjustly. And this is, she tried to commit incest and in haram with me, not me, with her. Till this affair is not resolved, till the court case doesn't take place, I'm not prepared to come out. Allah Pak had a very, very grand plan for the Yusuf alayhi salam. He's going to come out of prison, he's going to become the king of Egypt. Of course, he'll be under the king, but the keys of the treasures of Egypt are going to be placed in his hands. So in order for him to be at that position, his track record needs to be completely clear. If he just came out of the prison, they would have had it against his name. Yes, but this is what Harami intended to do with the Aziz of Misr, his wife. Allah Pak made it. And then anyway, the king, the court proceedings took place, and favor was passed in judgment, was passed in favor of Yusuf alayhi salat, alayhi salatu salam. Allah Pak brings him now from where? From the prison now. He's on the seat of leadership. And he's like the king of Egypt. Then his brothers come. And there's famine, drought in the lands, and his brothers come. Allah Pak made it such. So his same brothers threw him in the well. Here he comes forward. And they don't make him out. They don't recognize him, but he recognizes them. Now, throughout this period, there was like about 40 years that had passed. Yaqub alayhi salam cried over Yusuf alayhi salam so much that he lost his sight. He lost his sight. But in that home, he still took care of his kids, of his children, his sons, like a loving father, knowing what they did with his son. Imagine, Allah is showing us, teaching us, that this is life, the mysteries of life, the secrets of life are only in the hands of Allah. So the next time when you face any trial and difficulty, then you should now bear it with patience, with perseverance, like how Yaqub alayhi salam and Yusuf alayhi salam had won the difficulty. Difficulty upon difficulty. Allahu Akbar. Now Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salam, throughout his life, he spoke about Yusuf alayhi salam to his kids, to his sons. And the sons told him, "Oh father, Yusuf is history. You are talking about Yusuf. He's born." They didn't know he's going to come back in the scene. They didn't know he's going to come back. Allah, but a Nabi has a heart of gold. He'll always overlook and forgive. Allah must grant us that heart also. So at the time where Allah, when he had to reveal his identity, so when it is mentioned in the kitabs of tafsir, whenever Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam used to come to Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salam, Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salatu salam used to ask him that, "Where is my son Yusuf? Is he alive?" He says, "Yes, Allah Pak had commanded me to inform you, he's alive. But Allah didn't permit me to inform you where he is." So this was a trial and a test of Yaqub alayhi salam, like 40 years. Imagine, you know your son, you loved him so much, you know he's around, but you don't know where he is. And Yusuf alayhi salam, different trials till he reached that prison, and he came out of the prison, now he's sitting on the throne. And he knows where his father is, he knows how his father is keeping, he knows everything. But permission is not granted to him also, to reveal his whereabouts to his father. Permission not granted. Allah says, no permission. So that was the test of Yaqub alayhi salam. This was the test of Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam. Allahu Akbar. Till the final moments came, he had to reveal it to his brothers. Hal alimtum ma fa'altum bi Yusuf wa akhihi antum jahilun. He told him, "Do you all remember the time when you all dealt with Yusuf alayhi salam and his brother in a very ignorant way? You all remember that time?" The brothers are shocked. You see, like the king of Egypt speaking to him. So they told him, "Antum, you are Yusuf." He said, "Yes, I am Yusuf. This is my brother Binyamin." Allahu Akbar. Qad manna Allahu alayna. Allah had favored us. Allah had favors. Innahu may yattaqi wa yasbir. And then Yusuf alayhi salam, he gave the lesson of life, the solution to the problems of humanity till the day of Qiyamah. What is it? The ummah is going to hardship in different parts of the globe. We are asking, you know, when the help of Allah is going to come. The Nabi gave that answer. Innahu may yattaqi. The one who will lead a life of the fear of Allah, of piety, a life conforming to what Allah wants at every moment. And he perseveres at the time of hardship and difficulty. Innahu may yattaqi wa yasbir. Inna Allah la yudhi'u al-muhsinin. Allah will never cause the good of the good doers to go to waste. Allah Pak will always, Allah's hidden help will come to the fore. And Rasulullah saw it, Anbiya saw it, Sahaba saw it. It's left for us to see it also. But Allah's promise of His help is subject to our obedience to His commands. Then Allah Pak will send it. Sometimes difficulties come over a person, and he cannot understand the mystery. He must just, Allama Qurtubi says, from the incidents of Yusuf alayhi salam, the lesson we learned of Yusuf alayhi salam, Yaqub alayhi salam, is that we must accept the command of Allah, we must obey Allah, and you will be pleased with the command. When he says, "Okay, I just have to go to..." No. "I'm happy. Oh Allah, I'm happy with you." You still ask Allah for afiyat. "Oh Allah, remove this difficulty." That you'll do. One day one sahabi, Nabi alayhi salam, heard that sahabi, anna Rasulullah sallam, samia rajulan yaqulu, Allahumma inni as'aluka sabr. Oh Allah, I ask you for sabr. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam struck that sahabi from behind, on his shoulder. Sa'alta Allah al-bala. You asking Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala for trials, tribulations and tests and hardships. Because telling Allah, "Oh Allah, I want you to give me sabr." It means difficulties have to come for you to make sabr. So don't ask Allah. Salhu al-afiyat. Ask Allah for ease. But when difficulties come, then make sabr. Sometimes a hardship and difficulty will come. At that moment, the person won't know what's the hidden wisdom of Allah in this hardship. Allah has a lot of plans of blessing you. And sometimes history will have to show the mystery of Allah Ta'ala, how it unfolds. History will show. Sometimes you'll come to know the hidden wisdom of Allah in this world. Sometimes you won't know it in this world. You'll see it in the hereafter. There was one incident. We'll conclude on this. In Bukhari Sharif, this incident is mentioned. There was a certain black girl, and she traveled from one tribe far away from Medina Munawwara, and she came to Medina Munawwara, and she embraced Islam on the hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She became a believer. She didn't have any family. She didn't have any relatives. She didn't have any people who knew her. So the Nabi of Allah had to make some intizam near, next to the masjid. A small dwelling was set up for her. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had seen to her welfare, her condition, food arrangements. And this young girl, this black girl, she used to always come to the home of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to meet Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha to take nasihat, to take guidance. So she would always sing some couplets, you know, Yawm al-Wishah min ta'ajibi rabbina min baldatil kufri anjani. Always she would sing these couplets. So Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala asked her that, you know, what is every time you come, you sit, why are you speaking to me? Then you sing these couplets. Yawm al-Wishah, the day of the red necklace. Min ta'ajibi rabbina, was from among the mysteries of my Lord. The day of the necklace was from the mysteries of my Lord. Min baldatil kufri anjani. Allah Pak saved me from the land of kufr and brought me to Medina. So Aisha says, you're always singing this. You know, what is this? The background history behind this, the background story behind this couplet you're singing. So he says, oh Aisha, let me explain to you. He says, I was a slave girl owned by a certain Arab tribe. And those people, they took care of me. But the status of a slave I was given, which has a person in society no status, a time came where they felt pity and they freed me. To show allegiance to them, I decided to stay with them. They freed me, so I would stay with them. So I stayed in the same home. I looked after the kids, the children. I was with them. Until one day, they wanted to leave the home. How you go to a certain place, go and eat, like picnic. So the family decided to go, and I joined them as a maid, as a servant to do the work. So the place we went to, so the young child was wearing a very, very expensive red necklace. And while the child was there, the necklace had fallen down. And there was an eagle that came, and the eagle had seen this red necklace. The eagle thought it was a piece of flesh, some food for itself. So the eagle came down, it picked it up, and it went away. Now they're looking for that expensive necklace, they can't find it. So their eyes had fallen on this black young girl. That, no, you must be stole it. She said, no, I never steal any necklace. They became upset and angry with her. They said, no, we have to search you. So they began to search her. They took her clothes out. They said, they even searched me in my private part also. This amount of disgrace they showed me. In my heart of hearts at that moment, I cried to Allah, Wallah, look at this disgrace I'm being subjected to. Wallah, you help me. At that time, she wasn't a believer of Allah, but she turned to the God. Allah was there to see the heart of that broken servant. And there Allah Pak made it that in front, full view, while the people were searching, Allah Pak sent that eagle, and then in the mouth of that eagle was the necklace, and they brought it there in front of them, and he dropped it. She told them, see, you're accusing me of theft, I stole it. There's your necklace, the red necklace. My Allah has sent it, oh my God has sent it. There's it. Her heart was broken. This was the cause and the reason for her to leave her land and come to Medina Munawwara. And she embraced Islam at the hands of Rasulullah ﷺ. So this was, outwardly it was a very bitter incident that happened to her. But it became the means of her entering into the fold of Islam. So she looked at it on hindsight and said, it was the grace of Allah on me, I couldn't see it. So she would say, Yawm al-Wishah, on the day of the necklace, min ta'ajibi rabbina, from the secrets and the mysteries of my Lord, Allah used this, min baldatil kufri anjani, to take me out from the land of kufran and bring me to the land of Islam, Madinah Tayyibah. May Allah Ta'ala give me an honor to tawfiq wa akhidah wa alhamdulillah.